Hallelujah. Lord, I love you today. I give you praise, Lord, for what you're going to do in this place. Lord, you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There is nothing that you cannot do. We're trusting you today, Lord. Hallelujah. We give you praise. We give you praise, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I tell you what, ever since I knew that this would be a little bit different today, I've just been shaking in the Holy Ghost ever since. Seriously, God is just so good. His Spirit is just... If what I've been feeling in the Holy Ghost is what is just a part of what might happen here today, we're in for just something so special. And even last night when my husband got home from work this morning at 6 and he came to bed, I said, I feel like a child on Christmas morning. I feel like something so exciting is going to happen. And so I feel that in my spirit. I want to share that with you today, and I'm very, very excited. Just so glad. I'd love to start with just a soft, quiet kind of chorus. Lord, Lord, meet us here. If I can not get into the tearful singing voice. Lord, Lord, meet us here. We call you near. Heavenly Father, reign on us. Our hands we raise as we lift our voice in praise. Shower mercy and grace and meet us here. Lord, meet us here today. Lord, we desire your presence in such a great way today. We just really need you, Jesus. During the Thursday night Bible study, I want to thank Brother Levi, and he's down with the youth right now, but I wrote 5 words down. Those were my notes, 5 words, and God just spoke to me those 5 words, and those 5 words are my title this morning. And my title this morning is, And the Lord Came Down. Ooh, and the Lord came down. So excited, and I'm just happy. And today I'm going to have a text. The text is in Isaiah chapter 64, verse 1. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Isaiah chapter 64, verse 1. We're also going to read later this morning. We're going to read a little bit further beyond 64, 1, and just go a little bit beyond that. So if you've got it, say amen. Okay. I'm so excited. It's hard to find it in my Bible. I've got it written on my sheet. So here we go. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains might quake at your presence. Hallelujah. The word rend means to remove from a place violently. Isaiah had an urgency in these words when he penned these words, when he spoke them, perhaps even better described as a burden. And often in Scripture, when we find something happening in someone's life, whether it's their life, their soul, or a nation's life, we read about this struggle that goes back and forth between them and this whatever it is, this mess, this heartache, this burden. And then we find when desperation reaches heaven, we read, it's like, and the Lord came down. And so today I just thought, man, that's just so profound. And so I'm so thankful. In Genesis, we find our great God, the great God of the universe, walking with Adam and Eve in the garden. And I thought about that walking, and I think about fall walks where I live. We call it Sherwood Forest. We go down to the beach. The trees are, and I think you folks seen it. It was just, the trees have the trail. Well, you've seen it. It's just beautiful. The leaves fall down. They're on the ground. And as you walk, you hear the crunch of the leaves and its beauty, the sun shining through the trees. And then the water breaks and you can see the Cook Inlet. And it's just beautiful. And I thought of how beautiful would have been to walk with the Lord in the garden. And that's what Adam and Eve got to do. They got to walk with the Lord in the garden. And they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden. The divine creator appeared to them, and he would talk to them. He would utter sweet, kind things to them in tones that Adam and Eve knew. And he walked with them in some visible form. Well, God also introduced Adam to those beautiful animals, and some not so beautiful, sorry, but and allowed Adam to name all of those animals. He showed Adam all the delicious food growing in the garden. And just imagine if you were Adam in the garden with the Lord, and the Lord said, here, taste this. And he tastes the strawberry, and it's like delicious. Here, taste this lemon. Taste the lemon. What do you think Adam's face looked like then? Taste that. But imagine walking with the Lord, and the Lord says, you know, try this. Try a bit of this. And you're like, wow, try a bite of this. And Adam probably said to the Lord, what is this? How do I get into this round coconut? How do I get inside of that? What is that? Just the conversations that the Lord would have had with the great I am came down to fellowship with Adam and Eve. And you know what? The Lord desires that fellowship today. Hallelujah. He desires that fellowship today with us here at SPC and Sterling, Soldotna, Kenai. He desires that. And he's trying to break through. He's trying to have a closeness. He's trying to have a connection so that his presence can be in our lives. His presence. Praise God, church. We need his presence. And in these last days, the Holy Ghost, we need the Holy Ghost, his presence, because we are dealing with darkness. Darkness that is getting darker, if you can imagine darkness getting darker. But you know what? The thief does come to steal, kill, and destroy. And reading President JFK said in one of his speeches, he said, we choose to go to the moon in this decade and do other things, not because they are easy, but because they are hard. And then I thought, our current president doesn't put a man on the moon. He puts a man in the woman's restroom. That's the kind of darkness we're dealing with today, and that's the kind of darkness our children and our children's children will have to face as the days tarry. God help us to show our children and our children's children that we have his presence, that they don't have to fear and worry because God is with them. Praise God. You know, our families, my family, my extended family, they are hurting. They are hurting. The cities that we live in, we see people hurting. And there is a cry today in the world. Let it sound loud and clear for the heavens to hear. We need the Lord. We need the Lord, and we need his presence, absolutely, because the spirit of destruction is not just coming for the ungodly, church. It's coming for the godly also. Help us, Lord. It's coming for our children and our children's children. Help us, Lord. And our Christian families, our precious Christian families, they're being hunted down. They really are. Their faith is being killed, and there is a target on Holy Ghost-filled believers. And our battle today, it's for our soul. Our soul in Jesus Christ. That's it, our battle. The Lord said, he said, I will dwell among the Israelites and be their God in Exodus 29:45. What a beautiful picture we have in the Word of God. From Genesis to Revelation, I will be their God. He will be our God. Praise God. He will be our God. On the Mount of Sinai, the Lord came down on Mount Sinai to the top of the mountain, and the Lord called Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up, Exodus 19:20. And you know what he said? He said in Leviticus, he said, I will make my dwelling place among you, and my soul will not despise you. Ezekiel 37:27, my dwelling place will be with them. I will be their God, and they will be my people. The Lord longs to dwell or live with us. He does. When the Lord came down to visit and dwell with people, something happened. For example, on the Mount Sinai was all up in smoke because the Lord descended upon it in fire. And the smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked violently. Ooh, imagine that. When God came down, that's what happened in the physical. What in the world happened in the supernatural that day when the Lord came down? Imagine that. Imagine. Isaiah said, When you did awesome things, which we did not expect, you came down, the mountains quaked at your presence. Isaiah 64 and 3. Proverbs 30 and 4 says, who has ascended unto heaven and descended? Who has gathered wind in his fists? Who has wrapped the waters in his garments? Ooh. Who has established all the ends of the earth? Who is his name or his son's name? Surely you know. Praise God. In the New Testament, we have in John, we have John 1:14. The word became flesh and he dwelt among us and we beheld his glory. Praise God. To the one who overcomes will inherit all things, and I will be his God and he will be my son. Revelation 21:7. Time and time again, the Lord came down. When he came down, he met the need. Lives were changed and people saw his glory. Hallelujah. Ezekiel said it like this in Ezekiel 8:1. He said, in the sixth year, in the sixth month, on the fifth day of the month, I was sitting in my house and the elders of Judah were sitting in front of me. And then there, the hand of the Lord came down upon me. The hand of the Lord came down upon me. You know, we can share in Isaiah's cry today. Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens. And I'm reading from Isaiah 64, 1 through 4. Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence to make thy name known to all, I'm sorry, to thine adversaries, that the nations may tremble at thy presence. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him. Praise God. The prophet Isaiah knew what the people needed. They knew what they needed. They needed a touch from the Almighty. That's what they needed. He knew what the people needed. They needed a supernatural visitation. They needed something from God that was going to sustain them, change them, keep them. And his nation, his prophet Isaiah's message was not just heard to one person. It was heard to a whole nation, a whole nation. And Isaiah said at that time, he said in 64:7 and then verse 10, there is none that calleth upon thy name, that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. Thy holy cities are a wilderness. And what he was essentially saying is, Lord, you've blessed us with great things. We have great teachers. We have great preachers. We have great musicians. We have great programs. But Lord, we don't have your presence anymore. Where is your presence, Lord? Where's your fire to fall? Where's the Holy Ghost power? No one's calling out to you, Lord. Then he said, rend the heavens and come down and give us your touch, Lord. Give us your touch. In your Bible reading, if you're reading in the book of Luke right now, you probably just read it, chapter 24. The risen Savior walked with the disciples. In verse 15, Jesus himself, it says, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Verse 32 says, did not our hearts burn within us on the road while he opened the scriptures to us? Amen. We have been so incredibly blessed. We have so many resources. We can just click our little fingers and get on the computer and we can have information about God's word in seconds. It's amazing. We can have Bible studies and so many things. I mean, we can learn so much. We have so much knowledge. More than any other time in history, we have so much knowledge. So why are Christians not experiencing his presence like the Lord wants us to? Lord, reveal yourself to us, touch your people, descend on us, Lord, and that he would reveal himself to us. And when he does, we are changed. We are not the same. There is something about his presence. It's so profound. It changes you. When you've been in the presence of the Lord, you cannot ever be the same again. you're different. It's like your DNA changes. He changes you. You're changed to be more like him. Praise God. On the day of Pentecost, there were the cries of 120 believers gathered in a room in Jerusalem. And those cries to God led them to experience a change, an absolute change. They seen the manifestation of his glory on that day. And the Lord said, he said, I'm going to rain down my spirit on all flesh. And to prepare them for this, he said he wanted them to go to Jerusalem and to tarry and wait. And the Lord's message to his followers was this, he said, when you're together, church, fire is going to fall. And on the whole gathering, not just some, on the whole gathering. And your hearts will melt. Praise God. You know what? Your hearts will melt in the presence of the Lord. He said his supernatural power is going to fall. When that power falls, he's going to dissolve all mountains of hardness, all mountains of unbelief that have just built up like a snowball. God, help us. Help us that the very mention of his name, people would be convicted and they would be convinced that he is Lord of all. They would be convicted and convinced. And as the 120 disciples gathered on that, faithfully on that day, the Bible says that they were with one accord in one place, Acts 2:1. This means that they had come together. They had come together for one purpose. They had a hope of seeing the promises of Jesus Christ fulfilled. That's my hope today, praise God. You know what? And their cry on the day of Pentecost was just like the cry of Isaiah in Isaiah 64, when Isaiah said, Lord, rend the heavens open. Come down. Let the mountains of opposition, whether they be human or demonic, melt in your presence, Lord. They cannot even stand in his presence, so that the lost might be saved. And we know what happened that day. The Holy Ghost fell down. There was visible fire that appeared on the disciples' heads. And the Holy Ghost outpouring, it didn't stay in the room. It went to the streets. It went to the streets where there were thousands of lifeless religious people just walking around empty, really empty. And they saw and heard what was happening. You know what? The Bible says immediately the Spirit fell on the crowd. Wow. It melted every mountain of opposition. Because when Peter stood up to preach, those that had rejected Christ, their hearts were burning inside of them. Their hearts were melting inside of them. And that was, you know what? Just the mention of his name. And those 3,000 people, they cried out to the Lord. Praise God. One preacher says it well. When God strikes a match, there must be kindling for it to catch fire. Praise God. I had an excellent opportunity in the late 80s to go on an international youth corps trip with the UPC organization. And I got to go to South America, visited Venezuela, Caracas, Bolivia, and you know what? It was so life-changing and so life-altering for me. It was a time, you know, almost 30 years ago of civil unrest. It's almost like what we see now happening in the United States. So they had a new election. The prices were raised. The taxes were like 100% higher. People couldn't afford to buy groceries. There were military people standing on street corners with automatic weapons, and I'm this 20-some-year-old. I'm like, no fear. I had no fear at all. I had no fear at all. I just was like, la, 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 no fear. God is good. You know, going to South America, it was great. But I seen firsthand the pure joy of people that literally had nothing, just like little shanty houses to live in. They worship God. They praised God. They danced. They shouted. Our services were, if I could say, 10 times that of our campground services. It was amazing. And at one point, I remember we were asked not to tip at our our hotel for the people that served us anymore more than a dollar, because some of us were tipping $5 each time. And the missionary told us that some of these people, they only make $5 in a month. So he said, please just tip $1. And so we had seen things at that time we just had never seen before, like a dollar, okay. But amazing. But what I really remember the most is that one time we went to this, it was like an amphitheater. It was outdoors. And we just went there to basically pray. We just went as a group to pray. And I don't know, maybe there was about 20 of us and the missionaries and our chaperones. And just sitting there praying, I have to say, I've never felt so close to heaven at that time. I just thought, you know what? His presence was so beautiful, so powerful, so electric. It was overwhelming. And I knew that I could never, ever just return back to, you know, Canada and be the same. I knew that I would be changed because of what I saw, the church services that I was in, the spirit that I felt. And you know what? It was amazing. And every time I remember it, I tear up and I just remember his presence and I feel his presence. You know what? I don't know why the Lord's touch was so different that time. Perhaps it was because I had to, on my own, save and save and save so I could take this trip. So it was a sacrifice for me. And I had such devotion that I wanted to go, and I just wanted to go and do something for God. Go on a missions trip, or maybe I'll be an aimer one day, Lord. What am I going to do? I don't know, but I'm going to do this and you. And I went, and it was so life-changing. And I don't know why that time was so different. And perhaps it was devotion at the time or sacrifice. But he came down and met me in a special way in the group that was there in just a special way. I pray that for us here, that God would just meet us here, that we would desire his presence so greatly. On the day of Pentecost, the Spirit of God, it says, blew on those saints that day, and a flickering flame of fire started, and they were able to cover and share the gospel with the whole earth at that time, the whole earth. So I would say today, let there be a cry. Let there be a cry today that says, oh God, tear open the heavens, Lord, and come down. Send your Holy Ghost fire. Melt away all flesh and manifest your presence in our lives. He is so able to do that. He's so able to do that today. Thank you, Lord. I really want the Lord to do that for us like he did in Isaiah's day. He said, my spirit will change everything. Everything in a moment's time. All the mountains of hardness, all the mountains of unbelief, they're going to melt away. Everyone that's ever said anything contrary to you will come back. Let our cries be today. Let them be the desperate cries like Isaiah said, as waiting for the Lord to reveal his glory. I've never seen more desperate cries than in hospital hallways or in hospital rooms. And I say that because I work as a chaplain at the hospital, and only for that reason I can say that is, you know, you see people where they push past what their limits of faith are. They push past, and you know what? The Lord does come down. The Lord does come down. And in praying with people in such desperate situations, I've literally seen how God's sweet presence manifests in a person's body. They are able not to have to take more drugs because God's presence touches them. They are healed by his presence. If it's depression drugs, they don't have to take as many or any because God's presence comes down. And I know, not being able to speak firsthand about situations, but I know when praying and they're in such distress, their bodies are wreathed up into the fetal position in pain. And you walk into a room, and you speak peace, and you pray in the Holy Ghost. I've literally seen their bodies just straighten up, and they just relax like they're just putty. And I know that's the presence of God. That's what the presence of God does for people who are desperate, who are just, God, I have nothing except faith in you. Touch my lack of faith in you. And when there were times when visiting patients, I'll just read the word out loud. Just read it. just read it in the room. It literally changes the atmosphere. Literally changes the atmosphere. The spirit world is just like, and God's spirit comes in, and people who were not happy and frowning and literally crying are able to laugh. They're able to smile. They're even able to sing. Praise God. Never underestimate the power of his presence. Never underestimate the power of his presence in your daily life. Ladies, when you're doing laundry, loads after laundry loads, his presence is with you. I love my laundry room. I like to do, my family would think I'm weird, but I like kind of triage it, like colors and hangers. But it's a nice place for me, and I often have thought I should put more spiritual things in there, but I do spiritual things in there. It's spiritual to me because it's a place where I am, and there's nobody else, really. Who wants to be in the laundry room, right? So it's me in the laundry room. But I love it. God's presence is there with me, and I'm thankful. He desires to live with us and walk with us every day, 24/7, all the time. You know, our friends and our neighbors, they're living a life that is very self-serving often, just what is about self. And as the world gets worse and worse, it's going to be those neighbors and those friends that are going to come to us and they're going to say, I want to know the God who came down in your life, because they want to know that God also to come down into their life and their situation and their desperation. Praise God. Hallelujah. Isaiah 64:4 says, since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, nor has the eye seen any God beside you who acts for the one who waits for him. His presence in our lives is, I couldn't think of a greater word than awesome, awesome. His presence is powerful. It is all him. For Isaiah said, God acts for those who wait. And it's in the waiting. It's in the waiting. Have you waited on the Lord? Whew, waiting. You know what? It turns situations upside down. It just turns them front to back, back to front. And it will convert the worst offender. We see that in the Word of God. And we see that in our families' lives. It will convert entire nations. His presence will. That's what it does. We, church, have everything when we have his presence. We have absolutely everything. And when God comes down and blesses us with his presence, hallelujah, praise God. And God is going to do new and fresh things, unheard of before. You know, we may think that we have so much knowledge. How could God possibly do something that we don't know about that's new? Well, let me remind you about the people in the time of Noah's day. You know what? They had never seen rain before. Because I don't know if you know this, and if you don't, I'll tell you, but most of you do. The moisture didn't come from the heavens down like rain. It came from the mist up from the ground. So when they said it's going to rain and there's going to be a flood, they're like, yeah, hilarious. Tell me another good, funny story. That's not going to happen, right? But their human understanding could not imagine anything more than mist. I want you to get this. Their human understanding, they couldn't imagine anything more than mist, because they had not seen rain yet. They had not seen the rain. Paul says, we're going to experience these wondrous things his people cannot even perceive. 1 Corinthians 2:10. God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Lord, help us to be waiting, looking, binding together, waiting for his presence, that he will come down with his supernatural presence and melt all hearts. That's what he does. That's what his presence does. I would say today, Lord, melt my heart. Melt my brother and sister's heart. Melt away the things that keep me and you from getting closer to God. Melt away the petty things. We have them. And touch us, Lord, with your powerful presence. You might know someone today, you're thinking, man, they really need God's presence. Do you know someone today that really needs God's presence? And maybe your heart needs God's presence to melt away some things today. Has your spirit connected to the Word today? I would say if it has, just allow yourself to be in the Holy Ghost, to submit and just say, Lord, I want my spirit to be in your presence. I want things in my life and my heart to be melted away. I want to be more like you, Lord. I want to be more like you. We can have an outbreak of joy and gladness, even as these days grow darker. 1 John 4:4 says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. In great darkness, our lights, no matter how bright you might think your light is, guess what? It's going to shine brighter than the darkness. Amen. Hallelujah. Joy will be our strength in the days to come. And I would say, brothers and sisters, have joy. Have gladness in your heart. Joy is going to be our strength. And it's during the times when we have prayed and we've said, Lord, stir our hearts. Take the mountains of fear. Take the mountains of unbelief. Let them melt away. And then we can be in his presence with joy and gladness. Galatians, we know the fruit of the Spirit, 5:22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. It's joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. And just taking just the word joy, in Clark's commentary, it says that it's an exaltation that arises from a sense of God's mercy. And the prospect also, of course, of eternal glory, of eternal. So we have, it's this exaltation that we arises because of God's mercy and the prospect of an eternal home in glory. So when the Holy Ghost comes in and the rain comes down on us from the Holy Ghost, he will awaken the bride of Christ with a cry. What will the Spirit say? The Word of God says in Matthew 25:6, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. We get to live in expectation. Expectation, the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Revelation 22:17. Are we crying out today? Come, Lord Jesus. And the Lord warned the church. He said, watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. Matthew 24:42. Therefore, be ye also ready. For in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Matthew 24:44. Revelation 19 says, his wife, or bride, hath made herself ready. I want to make myself ready for him. I want to make myself ready. I want to be ready. I want to yearn for his presence, yearn for his return. You know, and the Lord had strong words for the people that scoffed at his soon return. He said in Matthew 24:48, he said, the evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming and shall begin to eat and drink, drunken. The Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of. That's probably one of the saddest scriptures. He called those scoffers evil. That's what he said. He called them evil. This world is not my home. I'm just here for a short time. I don't know how many years that's going to be, but it's not forever. I have a forever home. I want to remind you today that you have a forever home. Heaven is our final destination, where we will forever be with the Lord, forever. And this week marks the passing of 3 years since my father-in-law has gone on to meet his great reward with the Lord. And I cannot tell you what kind of faith I have in knowing that I have an eternal home in glory. Because guess what? We're all going to be reunited one day. That is a great hope that we have. But it stirs something in me so that I will live each day. I want his presence. I want to live in his presence, and I want to make heaven my forever home. I speak faith to you today, church. Faith. I speak faith that it would rise up in your hearts and say, Lord, Lord, come down. Come down in my heart today, Lord. I want his spirit. I want his spirit in my life. I want his spirit in my children's life. I want his spirit in our church. I want his spirit in my home. Hallelujah. The Bible says that men will get evil. They will grow more and more wicked. And that there will be a great falling away. That's so sad to hear that. The love of many will grow cold, and the faith of many will be shipwrecked. False preachers will come, and they will deceive many, and that people will love pleasure more than God. Even God's elect will be greatly tempted. Guess what, church? None of these things will ever hinder the Spirit of God or his presence. Nothing can hold back the fire when it falls. And we cannot stop God's rain from falling upon us, his presence. Hallelujah. Lord, you're so good. You know, the 120 in the upper room on that day, they held on to the promise that Jesus would come. And he did come. He came with heavenly power. The Lord has given us a promise to follow him. Luke 22:29 says, I will appoint unto you a kingdom. He's telling us that. I will appoint unto you a kingdom. The Lord hears the cries of his people. Whether you live in a small town in Alaska or you live somewhere in a big city, he is pouring out his spirit. He's saying, even so, come Lord Jesus, Revelation 22:20. As his spirit fills us, stirs us, moves us, let our cry be this also. Behold, Jesus is coming. Let us go and meet him. John said in the book of Revelation, he said, I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the former things have passed away. Can you hear with spiritual ears today, church, the sound of an abundance of rain? Yes. Can you hear the sound of God wanting to pour out his spirit upon each one of us? He desires to dwell in our hearts and live with us. Be with us, be our God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. There was a 43-year-old businessman who had suffered a financial loss in the Great Chicago Fire in 1871. He and his wife had just lost one of their children before the fire came, and after the fire, they needed a break, just a vacation to get away. So knowing that their friend named Dwight L. Moody was going to be preaching in England, they took a journey. The wife went ahead with the children first, and he was going to follow. But on the Atlantic water, the crossing, the ship was struck by an iron sailing vessel, and the whole vessel sank within 12 minutes. And 226 souls died, including this man's four daughters. When the survivors were brought to Wales, she sent a telegram to her husband, and she said, it just said two words, saved alone, that she was the only one that was saved from her family. He went ahead and booked a passage on the next ship, and as they were crossing the Atlantic, the captain pointed out to the place where he had thought the ship had gone down. And that night, Spafford penned these words. He said, "When sorrows like sea billows roll, it is well. It is well with my soul." His song reads like this: "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll. Whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." And the last verse is just probably one of my favorites, and it says, "And Lord, haste the day when the faith shall be sight, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trump shall resound and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul." The Lord came down for Mr. Spafford, and the Lord comes down for us. He's here right now. I feel his presence in a very powerful way. Could we just reach out to him today? Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, I give you praise and glory. Thank you, Jesus. Hear our cry today, Lord. We desire for you to come down and meet with us today.